process the idea that just we'll talk about the idea that just because we're Christians doesn't mean that everything is going to be great. In fact, when you become a Christian, sometimes there are trials and temptations that's going to come down your way. And you're going to have to figure out how to work through it. And you can have a support team around you, which is good, but in the end, you're the one that makes the decision. You're the one that makes the choice. You're the one that makes the yes or the no or whatever it may be. But God's Word gives us some understanding about these things that happen to us. So trials are those things we don't like, that those bad things that happen to us, those rough moments, those times that we're just not sure about why this is happening. Those things are going to happen from time to time. But we're going to find out why. We're also going to look at some things about temptation, how that works. And we got to figure out how to get stronger through times of temptation. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of James. It's been a while since I preached. It's been a long time since I preached out of the book of James. But we're going to be in the book of James in chapter 1. And we're going to work through some things because the book of James is about life. It's about how to do life as a Christian. It talks about how to shut your mouth when you speak too much. It talks about how to control that. It talks about not gossiping. It talks about a lot of those kind of things. It talks about praying. It talks about the power of prayer. But the first part is what we're going to talk about in chapter 1. We're going to talk about these things that happen to us as Christians. Verse 2, it says, consider a pure joy, my brothers and sisters. So he's talking to the believers. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And usually what pops out of this whole thing is, how can we turn around and say, how can he say, consider it a pure joy when I'm going through a hard thing? Because when I'm going through a hard thing, that's the last thing I want to do is have a joy about it. I'm not going to smile through it. But there's a difference between smiling and happiness and actually having a joy. The joy is a deeper than happiness. Joy is deeper than a smile. Joy is truly that stuff that's inside of you, that no matter what happens, you can have a joy in your life. But these trials that we have, he says, whenever you face these trials, we're going to face trials because bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to lost people. Bad things happen to Christians. They happen to churches. They happen to families. They happen to all of us. And what we have to do is figure out how we're going to work through that. But what we find out here is that these trials is a test of our faith. It's easy to come up maybe and say, I want to have a relationship with Christ. But how are you going to handle the things as you go in life afterwards? Are you going to lean on God? Are you going to lean on Christ? Or are you going to do it and try to do it the old way? And the old way doesn't work. How do I know? Because it never works. We have to figure it out. And God's going to give us some, there's going to be some times in these trials, he's going to allow that to be a time of testing our faith. Some of us, we know we struggle in certain areas. When we have certain types of trials, we have a tendency not to do as good with those as we might some others. And why does it seem like the ones we go through that we can really go through quick, they don't come around that often? It's the ones that we struggle with that keeps coming up. These trials force your true faith to come out. It will reveal who you are. Are you just a person who says, oh yeah, I got God, and when bad things happen, then you run. You do your own thing. Or are you a person that will dig down deep into your faith and say, I don't understand this, God. I really don't understand it. I don't like what's going on. You don't have to like what's going on. You don't have to like what's going on to have a joy. But you know this, there's a joy in it, knowing that the Lord is going to work you through it. Now you know that you're going to get through that, and there's a joy knowing that it's not going to destroy you, but that your faith in Christ will move you through it. And a lot of this is about faith tonight. But these trials will force your faith, and what you really believe will come out. This is why we can have trials as a church, as together, but we also have more trials individually. Because your faith needs to be tested. And working through these trials will help you, because there's another trial coming around the corner. Just like storms. We love the sunshine in the summer, and then we have a storm coming. And then what happens? The storm passes. And then next week, we have some sunny days. But guess what? Forecast says there's another storm coming, because it's what? It's a part of life. Even people that live out there on the beautiful beaches and the islands of Jamaica and all those places, they have storms as well. We need to figure out how to work through those trials. You know what? God's Word tells us how to do it. God's Word tells us how to work through it. Verse 5, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That a person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. If you don't know what to do, what do? What's it telling us? We need to ask God. When we ask God, what are we doing? We're praying. We're praying. We're asking God to help us make a decision. Help us figure out how to work through this trial, these trials that's in front of us. It's a conversation that we're having with the Lord about, Lord, help me. Give me a sign. Lord, open a door. What door do you want me to go through? It's okay to be stuck. But it's not okay to go through wrong doors. It's okay to be stuck. It's okay to stand in front of a door and doors and not know which way to go. As long as you're talking to the Lord, He'll direct your path, because that's Scripture. Trust the Lord, right? We trust in the Lord. But we need to ask Him. You see, here's what we do. We turn around. We know we have a serious problem and a trial in front of us, but we're not doing anything seriously to work through it. We might go talk to somebody, but we're not really working through it. Some people choose it different ways on how they talk to each other, but most of the time people will come back and do whatever they want to do. Scripture tells us that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be seeking the Lord and His wisdom, the Holy Spirit and His wisdom. And when we do pray about it, we can't think, well, I'm not sure if the Lord's going to answer that or not, because then it says, oh, we're like a wave going back and forth. We don't even know. We're saying things, we're not even sure if we believe them. And the Scripture says that we're double-minded. Listen, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God's put the Holy Spirit in you, you can be centered on God's will. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to understand everything. But if you seek God, He will put you through the place that He needs to put you through. And the best place to be always is in God's will, even when there's a little pain and suffering in it. It is the best place to be. So we need to work. We need to understand and know that we are going to have trials. We're going to have some terrible things and some sad things that are going to happen in our life. I can look at it when people lose a loved one. Those that are Christians that have deep-rooted faith in the Lord, they understand it's not just about loss, but it's also a celebration. Most people can't understand that. What do you mean? How can you have joy when I lost my mother? How can you have joy when you lost your father or a spouse or someone? Listen, when you have a relationship with God, there's a different thinking pattern than what the world has. It is a different thinking pattern. This is only temporary. When you have a relationship with Christ, we know the promises of God's Word, then we're going to be with them again at the second coming. Then it's not a goodbye, it's see you later. For those who know the Lord and passed on, it's that they know that, like, when I'm dead, I find out who's going to preach my message. I'll give them a couple notes before I know. Because I'm going to tell them, remind people, I'm not there. That's just my body. I'm long gone. I'm with the Lord. That's where I am. And with those others. So we need to understand and know that trials are going to happen. So when we lose people, we need to understand and know that we can have a joy and we think it differently and we work through it. When we get sick, we don't put all of our faith in the world and its health system. We can understand that they have knowledge, they have wisdom. We're going to trust them. We can put our trust in them. But our faith is in the Lord. You can trust them, but your faith is in the Lord. Because He is the great physician, the physician over all physicians. The one who created life can fix everything in life. He knows everything about life. So trials are going to happen. But there's another part James talks about. He said, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. What? We'll come back to that. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. We should not run toward the prosperous life, but run toward the Lord. If the Lord blesses, great. Good. It's a blessing. The Lord loves to bless. But we should not be chasing after riches. That will not fix your trials. But that's what people think. Listen, money is a tool. And sometimes that tool is needed. That tool pays bills. That tool pays the rent, the mortgage. It gets you to A to B. That tool is needed. But I want to remind you, if you chase after that tool and that's all you think, that's all you got, you are going down the wrong road. Because it will never fix your problems. It will not fix your heart problems. It will not fix your spiritual problems. It will not fix all the trials and the hurts and the pains that you have in life. It may mask it for a moment, but your true self and your true problems will come out and it will never fix it. And the more you spend, the more you lose. So he says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, knowing that your high position is not in the funds and not in the money that you have, but it's in the faith that you have. And if God has you in a place that seems like it's just normal to the world, it's just average, listen, to God it's a high place. Because your mind and your hearts and your thought and your spirit is focused on the things of God, not on the things of the world. This is the book of James will totally change, the book of James will turn a brand new believer all upside down on their thinking. Because God's thinking, God's way for us to live is different than the world. We don't knock people out. We don't knock people out of line to get in front of them. Sometimes we step aside to let someone in front of us. Just because somebody did something bad to you, we don't retaliate. We pray for them. And we bite our tongue. And we work through it. Because this is the book that tells us that we are to live a life different than the world. That we are to live different because we are different. But he says in verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Kind of goes back to this, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. Whoa. That the Lord has promised to those who love Him. That's a blessing. As you continue to work through your trials in life by leaning on the Lord and doing it God's way, there's a crown of life that's waiting for you because you have a relationship with Christ. We're all expected to do it God's way. But God has mercy and grace. God has a lot of mercy when we mess up. But He's not going to leave us there. He's going to push us forward so we can start becoming the mature Christian that we are called to be. We can't make decisions the way we used to before we knew Christ. We can't do it that way. They don't work. It doesn't work. We don't run to the bottle. We don't run to drugs. We don't run to this old flame or this old boyfriend or this old girlfriend. We don't run to that. We run to the Lord. When you run to the things I just mentioned, they will always end in a dead end. Pain, problems, and more trials and tribulations than you should have had in the beginning. You added to it because we think that those things are going to fix it, but they just cause problems. All you got to do is think back when you were doing those things and you find out, yeah, they really didn't work for me. That's why I left those places and I left those people or that person. That relationship didn't work out, but I'm going there because I'm in this trial problem. Do you think that they're going to fix it? They're not going to fix it. They're going to use you. They're going to use you over and over and over and over again. And it's going to cost you more than you ever thought. Then you're back to square one. Oh, and we begin to have self-pity. Lord, I don't understand why this is happening, because we're choosing the wrong route. Take a moment. Talk to a seasoned Christian. Listen, there's not enough Christians talking to seasoned Christians. And even seasoned Christians need to also talk to other seasoned Christians. Because we are not very smart. We are not very smart. We need to be doing things God's way. So we talked about trials. But now we move into another area that is very difficult. It is temptations. Temptations is not a sin. To be tempted is not a sin, but I will give you warning. Don't dance with temptation. Don't dance with it and flirt with it. Because the time you start flirting with it, you've already lost. You don't even realize it's already conceived. You are already enjoying it in your mind. It'll take you hook, line, and sinker. It'll put you in a headlock that you cannot get out. How do I know that? Because the things that you get tempted to, you keep doing the same ones over and over and over and over again. And you think you have this idea that you're going to be able to beat it without God. You're going to do it on your own. But listen, you keep doing it. So that tells you that you can't beat it on your own. So what does he say? He says, when tempted, he wants to make the point here, because when we're tempted, we always want to blame somebody. The scripture tells us when we are tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God wants the best for you. Now, you may not understand what the best is, but he does. He wants the best for you. He is not going to tempt you to do a sinful act or anything evil. He's not going to do that. He just doesn't do that. So sometimes we want to blame God. Hospitals, a lot of people blame God at a hospital because someone passed away and someone died. They want to blame God. Whether they believe in God or not, they want to blame God. It's an easy out. Sometimes we want to blame other people. I want to remind you, it's very easy to point a finger at someone else. But it is so true. There are others pointing the finger at yourself, at you. Sometimes we get to the place where we want to blame the devil. Now, he'll jump on the bandwagon because he's all part of that. But he don't make anybody do anything. Especially the believer. But he'll tempt. He'll be a part of it. No. What does the Bible say? Verse 14, but each person, every one of us, is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. It's what's in our own heart. It's that black part that's in our heart, that darkness that's in our heart that's not good. It's that evil. It's that sinful nature that we have. Even though we are a Christian and we have the Holy Spirit, we are still human. There is a flesh part. That's the part we have to kill. We have to destroy it. Because if not, it'll keep coming up and we have to walk away. And we got to quit saying that. Instead of just saying no, we got to say, done. I'm done. Because no can be no for today, but when I'm done, I'm done for. I'm just done with it. And some people say, well, I don't know. How can you be just, no, we're done with it. I'm done. There comes a moment where you got to be done. Doesn't mean other ones won't come up because we're going to be tempted. But each person is dragged away and enticed by their own evil desires. Listen, every one of us has some things inside of us that would cause us temptation different than one another. But yet it is all common to man. It's nothing special. But it's that flavor piece or whatever it's in your life. And Satan knows what it is. The dark side knows what it is. And they'll toy with it. They'll poke at it. They'll try to poke at it because they know that that's an area that you can be very weak in. How are you going to work through it? You got to learn to say no. You got to learn to say, I'm done. And it says, then after desire has conceived, because you desire it. It's a mental game. It's a mental war. You're telling them, well, no. And then most of the times when we do these things, we're doing them when we're by ourselves. When we're alone, our mind starts spinning. We get that idle time. That time when we're by ourselves, we'll go in and our mind will start to click. It'll start clicking. It'll come up. It might be down for a while, but it'll come up when you get that idle time. And it'll bring up something, some type of desire. And we start fantasizing about it. We start thinking about it. Then we go and do it. And it says it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. But we need to remember that we have Scripture that says, if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. You see, how do we get it right? I'll tell you this. When you stand before trials, you've got to work with it with the Lord. When you stand before temptation, you better work with it with the Lord. And if you come to a place where you fail and you mess up, you don't handle the trial like the way you should have. You blew up at somebody. You said words you shouldn't have said. You might have got physical. You might have said some damaging things. You better take care of business. First, you better take care of it with the Lord before you go to see the person, because it may come right back up and you may do the same thing because they might say something that just might fire you up again. You need to get with the Lord and you need to take care of that business. And God will give you the words to speak when you go talk to them. I believe this in my own heart. I believe this with all my heart. I believe Christians need to be apologizing to one another more than we do. I believe we have bitterness in our hearts at times. I believe we've got unconfessed anger at times. I believe we've got unconfessed gossip at times. Envy and jealousy. There's no room for that. There's no room for that. When we have those, we are to take care of that. We take care of it with the Lord, and then we take care of with whom the Lord that we should be talking to. But when it comes time to temptation, we need to, once again, we need to seek the Lord in this. Because times of temptation will come up. If you're in a place where it's not working for you, you need to get on the phone and you need to call somebody. You need to call somebody. I remember two individuals that called me. And they were at a party and they said, I'm looking at lines of cocaine. And Pastor, you said I could call you. Like, it was like 2 a.m. Reached over and answered it. Said, they go, what do I do? I said, are you still on the phone? Yeah, I'm on the phone. I said, where's the door? Find the exit door. All right, I'm at the exit door. Keep walking. Where are you at? I'm in an apartment. Walk downstairs. Go across the parking lot. Start walking in toward home. Started walking about 2 blocks later. He goes, man, I feel so much better. I didn't do anything except for the fact that I just guided him. He did the best thing he possibly could do. Pick up the phone and call somebody who he trusted and he knew that would help him. And the next day I called to check on him. He said he was fine. I went over to the house and the guy that he was with, he went ahead and decided to stay on, do all this stuff. but he was still out because of what he had taken the night before, and they were very concerned, and that's another whole story. Times of temptation are going to happen, and it'll happen when you least expect it. Listen, the party days, the old party style days, those should be done. All the things we let our eyes see that in the fantasy world should be done. But it's not. Because we have this problem in our life. But we as an individual can work through it and have victory. How do I know that we can have victory? Because victory is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says the battle is His. And we can stand against any test and win because of the Holy Spirit. The Scripture tells us in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I can do this. And that's one thing that helps me through times of temptation. Is Scripture. I may not have my Bible on me, but I got my Bible here and here. That takes a little bit of time to learn some Scripture. It really does. But that's what it is. It's my defense mechanism. It is part of my armor. It is the Word of God. You need to know, at least learn a Scripture or two. Then it'll help you through. And then you begin to learn that those Scriptures are not just words on a page, but they've defended you in times of temptation. That you, when you bring it up, I can do this. I can do this because Scripture says I can do all things. But how? Through Christ who strengthens me. I can also say I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? Because we get to a place where we're saying, where does my help come from? That Scripture reminds me, where does my help come from? It comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. I know where my help comes from. And I know that when I sin, I can go to Christ and I can do that. What happens is in the front end, I need to know that I can't do it without Christ. But unfortunately, there's going to be times when we're going to fail. Now, has anybody never failed? Have we all failed at temptation and have sinned? Yes. What do we do then? Well, we have to get our hearts right with God. We have to get our life right with God. And we can't run from God. So we got to run to God. Now listen, I want to tell you, God doesn't leave us. We run away from God. God doesn't run away from us. But also know that this is a scripture that I use a lot. If I draw near to God, then He will draw near to you. So if I draw near to God, He'll draw near to me. So here it is. If I take 20 steps away, right, God's never left me. I left Him 20 steps away. But if I turn and walk toward Him, this is the awesomeness of God. If I draw toward Him, He's not staying where I left Him. He's coming to me. He loves me that much to say, come on, come on. You can do this. He's taking steps for me that I don't have to take. But He's not going to take all your steps because He already did that on the cross. Amen? So when I sin and I fail at temptation and I sin, I need to make sure that I get it right because I'm not going to sleep well. Y'all know that one, right? If you don't take care of your sin, you will not sleep well. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, you will not have peace in your spirit. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit will convict you until you get it right because something's not right in the relationship. Does it mean God doesn't love you? No, God loves you. Never say God doesn't love me anymore. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie that is so wrong. Never say God forgot you. God knows where every human being is on the face of this earth. He knows every bird. The Bible says He knows when a sparrow falls. He also knows the number of hairs on your head. What is all those are crazy things. But that's just the power of God. And His knowledge is so, just, we can't even fathom it. Let's leave it at that. But death comes to those whose sins are not forgiven. If you don't have Christ, then your sins are your own. And His Holy Spirit is not going to convict you of that because you don't have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says men would rather run to darkness. But God gives us a way that we don't have to live with our sins, that we can be forgiven of our sins. This is what I know. Life can and will be rough at times. Because John 10:10 tells us, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy your whole life. Done pretty good with some of us. But also know that if you experience the second part of it, wow. But I have come, Jesus has come, that we might have life more abundantly. Woo. So you got one side that wants to tear your life apart. You got another side that's rooting for you, encouraging you, and trying to pull you to the good things of life, to the good things of the Lord, the one that wants to redeem your life. So you got the dark side that wants to destroy your life. You got the light, Jesus Christ, that wants to give you eternal life. There's a war going on, and you're right in the middle. You can run toward the love of God and the forgiveness of God, or you can live in the darkness of anger, hate, and sin that destroys your life. You can live in victory, but you must do it with Jesus Christ. You'll lose a few battles, but don't you quit. We need to repent and get right with the Lord and get back to living for Jesus and with Jesus. And then the Lord will use us again to serve Him. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ, I'm here to tell you, you can. Because you need to understand, your way will never work. It especially won't work for you. Because if you're foolish enough to believe it'll work for you, then you will be the first person it ever worked for in all humanity. You see, sin never works for anybody. It wasn't meant to work. It was meant to work against people, to destroy people. But Christ offers us life because He gave us His life. And the thing I love about the Lord, He loves you right where you are. Without any labels, He loves you with all your junk. Addictions, your bitterness, your anger, selfishness, whatever it may be. He loves you right where you are. But He will never leave you there. He loves you so much that He wants to take you to a different place. But you have to trust Him. He'll work on those things. He has a beautiful way of working on our junk. He never says, fix it and then come see me. He says, bring it with you and I'll fix you. We're going to have a moment where we're going to be able to pray tonight. And you can fix. What needs fixed in your life, I'm telling you, you need to let the Lord start doing that. You need to let your heart come to Him. As the scripture says, draw near to God, and God will draw to you.